May the words of my mouth and the meditation within us all be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm learning up here to work with shadows. Yes. It's kind of cool. Just takes a little finessing. So I don't know where you guys like to go and gals on vacations, but I was raised not so much in the Smoky Mountains as through them. I loved the Smokies. Every summer, sometimes twice a year, our family then living in Florida would trek its way over and up the mountains and then headed over to Illinois. On a lucky journey, we'd get to go back in a similar way. I love the smell of the early morning mountain air, the beauty of walking through the woods to a lookout, and then gasping as you hung over the edge and the parents would come over and go, "Get back from there." And how everything and everyone below got really tiny, and sometimes they seemed to disappear completely. In autumn, it was the colors that caught our attention until someone spotted a giant rock in the middle of the river. And then my dad would say, "It's time for a picnic lunch." This was very uncharacteristic of my very strict father, by the way. So I probably loved it for that, too. So we would sometimes take off our sneakers. We have an infamous story. There's still a sneaker that belonged to me as a little girl floating someplace or sunk way deep by now. But we would truck out to this, whatever the big rock was, big enough for three or four or five of us to climb up, and they would be carrying the basket. It was never deeper than even my little girl knees. And there we would laugh and be somehow separate from the whole rest of the world, listening to the water and having a meal together. Then we'd truck back and splash towards the car. There was no air conditioning in the car. I know that comes as a shock to some of you as children. But the windows went down, and we could look out, and we would do this to our hands before we realized later that that was a really dangerous thing to do. We didn't know. We were having fun. We would argue sometimes over who got to sit on the side of the car that you could look down and see what was happening next. And along there would be these great signs, and we would laugh and giggle. It was not anything aimed at another religious perspective. We were young, we had no clue. Things like, "Get right with God," "Trust in Jesus," "Have you been saved?" "Repent now." Now, if you've been on any of these roads, you would recognize that those signs came immediately before a really sharp curve, and this is all back when it was still two lanes, before a sharp curve. And it was helpful to the driver because he knew then to slow down a little bit. They were not accidentally placed. They were warnings. The catch to the signs time and time again was that they were not just mile markers, but they were life markers to continue a life fruitful and whole, slow down a little bit, and take it all in. The vision was faithful from the author for each warning, and it was intended to save us from eternal doom and destruction. But it was clear the decision better happen right now. This was not something to ponder for a very long time. It was urgent. It was also handy for the drivers, knowing right now really does mean use your brake pad gently. Another favorite part of the journey into the Smokies were the Appalachian stores. Again, being little, I had no clue that it meant extreme poverty and that all these beautiful handmade things were not just made beautiful and handmade because they wanted to necessarily, but because of the means and the way in which they were living, and that this was giving life back to their families. All I knew was that I liked one in particular. It's about this big and about like this, and for probably 7/8 of my life, it was in my mother's kitchen, hanging someplace prominent until she passed away. And it said, "Too soon we get old, too late we get smart." My daughter and I had a debate about that this week when I said I was excited. I was sharing my plaque. and which, by the way, I would have brought, but it is not visible at this moment. It's packed in my mother's stuff. Anyway, my younger daughter said, "No, Mom, it was said, too soon we get old, too late we get wise." And I thought, "No, honey, I've been looking at that a lot longer than you have." And in that split second, I thought, do I try and enlighten her and convince her? I don't know. If any of you have 20-something, 30-year-olds, you go ahead and try it. I chose not to. She can think wise. I think that's good, too. But it came up again and again in my life. Too soon we get old, too late we get smart. It goes from funny to really serious. When we listened to this morning's story of a life squandered, there were no signs nor directives on how to live a life worthy of praise in the same kind of manner that we see. They weren't driving their cars past the rocks. But they were talking with one another. There were preachers, there were teachers, and you had just as good a chance to ignore them. They also had praise and goodness and things to follow. Help your neighbor. Be kind to everyone you meet. Feed the hungry. Take care of the orphans and strangers, for you may be in the company of angels unaware. He had choices, great and small. When his day came, he had to face what his life had been, a glimpse of Scrooge within himself, and a cautionary reminder to you and to me. Beware, there may be a steep drop-off just around the bend. Now, his poor choices became signs on our highway. His desire to forewarn those he loves to wake up and do a better job at caring for others and the world had been stopped in their tracks with his death. He's told no, he can't even go back. He cannot take a quick run back to the house to tell them, "Wait a minute, you all really have to listen. There's stuff I forgot to tell you because I didn't get it, but now I do, and you need to know." He is Scrooge enlightened and more than wanting his own second chance to his credit. What he wants is to add benefit to the world, benefit back to those he loves and cares for deeply. Did his kin figure it out, or are they on their own? They're wanting different things. Did they read the signs from our God inviting them to care, to respond and pass it forward while they were able? I hope so. And at the same time, are you and I genuinely, constantly aware? Are we paying attention? Are we more like the kids in the back seat wrangling over who gets to sit by the window in the wind? The handwriting of the story is pretty clear. It's the basis of our rich biblical heritage. Choose wisely. It matters. Wisdom is not so much a birthright as it is a gift that's opened up to it. It is a scenic vista within us, through us, and beyond us. Thankfully, you and I still have time. We're here. We're here. We still have this moment. And we still have time in the larger cautionary tale. We cannot magically make it sink in for others, however, but we can demonstrate through our day-to-day life with hope, joy, gentleness, kindness, and caring for others. I'm pretty sure that I am not the only one today who has ever let a burst of anger precede me and follow me and linger after I am gone. I'm probably not the only one who ever prepared a wonderful meal for people I love, but didn't do anything at all for the people who had no meal that day. Didn't even pray for them as we were blessed. Chances are I'm not the only one who's ever pulled over to the right-hand lane before making a left-hand turn because there was someone holding a sign that said, "Feed me, help me, can you help?" You've seen the signs. And with deep sadness and confession, I don't do it often. I hope I don't do it again. But I have an occasion seen it ahead and pulled in the right-hand lane just so I didn't have to have eye contact even. How unchristian could I be? What else could I have done? Oh, I could have joined the arguments, or they're not really needy. That's just what they do for fun to try and get a few extra bucks because they're lazy. not if you stop and talk with them. Then you know more. We have choices. And at some point, it's as if our choices vanish, and all we have left in the moment are the consequences, the regrets, and more unfortunate memories than we wish of ourselves. A few things are clear, however, across time. Our crosswords will not vanish. They will not turn into vapor or return into the recesses of the impatience of our brain. Our pockets will not automatically fill up with money, nor will our hearts automatically fill up with fruitful works. Both of those are things that come one day at a time, one prayer at a time, one effort at a time. We have opportunities to live in faith with opportunities for education, food, water, shelter, and safety for everyone, regardless of race, gender, orientation, socioeconomic, physical, and mental abilities, and geography of home. We are not only called to embrace these, we're called to make a difference every day, way beyond our own choices and our own selves, to make every day available and more available to those who are not as blessed as we are. What else are you willing to offer? That's part of what it comes to at this time of year. What do you and I choose to give to God? What will we pledge to God in service, in community, in the lives of one another, in what you choose to tithe and pledge to your congregation so that you all might join together as one and do yet another layer of kindness and goodness and outreach in the name of Jesus Christ. How sad it would be to be at the end of one's journey, to go back into the scripture where wisdom happened, but he can't make it through to say, no, really, it was real. I'm not kidding. There's things you could do that would enrich your life now. And because of grace and goodness, we pray and trust that God has helped all who have gone before us. But it does not relieve us from the responsibility and the care and the hope and the prayers we need to do at deep levels and the conversations with one another. And if there are ministries that you hope can come to fruition, but you know that your little piece of the pie won't do it, that's part of what congregations do. It's also part of the wonderful gifts you give to the association. We have ministries that happen through you, and then we have our conference and our denomination. Echoes from long ago are helpful to us. We don't want you to bring them down, you know. I look back and I have some shame. I've done some confession, and I've also had the privilege of years of practice in knowing God loves me in spite of myself. And not always because of what an amazing person I am. Mindy can tell stories already, and we've only known each other a short time. But I do try, and I do believe it's worth it for each one of us to say, how you doing today? Do you know how your journey's going? How is your faith journey also being expressed through the finances that you give? I have no idea how we got so nervous about talking about money. I just know most of us are. I encourage you to pray that away. Are the prayers that we are giving, are we listening and willing to make the changes in our lives for other lives as well? Our opportunities here in this room are enormous. If you want to help others make changes too, ask yourself what makes your heart break. What makes your heart break? And what makes your heart sing? What can you do to pass it forward this hour, this day, and every day? Today is the only day we are sure of. This moment is the only thing we are sure of. The prayer for John Peterson, he is my pastor in my home church. And so when my husband got there today and texted me and said, John's not here today, he's had another heart episode. And he's had to retire early from his pastorate. Next week will be his last Sunday. He is a man who has taught me great things about paying attention right here and right now, not to assume that we have this unlimited gift of time or talents or treasure. Today is the only day we're sure of. I encourage all of us to make the most of it in faith, love, and kindness, and in the name of Jesus and love of God forever. May all your choices and mine the things we say and the things we choose wisely to leave unspoken. Just think for a minute before you let it come out sometimes. May all the parts of us bring glory to God. Let us pray. Creator God, you called us to love and serve you with body, mind, and spirit, to love and care for our sisters and brothers of family and faith and all around the world. We pray you would open our hearts this day in compassion and receive our silent petitions on behalf of the needs of the church and the world. We pray you will guide us and we will have the courage to respond. We give you thanks for your church, for your blessings, for this congregation, for their needs, their hopes, to bring glory to your name here in Lancaster and beyond. To God be all glory now and forever. Amen.